Clap your hands, stomp your feet, and sing out praises of the Lord. We are in what music people feel is the beginning of a surge of gospel music that will, in short order, take over the music business in a big way. Knowledgeable people predict that gospel music, already big and growing fast, will become the most important thing in music within 4 or 5 years. And they see gospel music series on television and gospel music coming in movies. According to Peter Grosslight and Marshall Resnick of Regency Artists, one of the biggest talent agencies with a strong gospel department headed by Resnick, the current surge of gospel music began simultaneously with the born-again Christian movement. The two go hand in hand, says Resnick. Of course, gospel music isn't as new as the born-again push, but a new type of gospel music has emerged so that today there are two distinct kinds of gospel music flourishing. There is the traditional sort, pioneered mostly by black artists such as the late Mahalia Jackson, and still sung widely today. But the newer, younger artists, white as well as black, are singing contemporary gospel music. This is more rock flavored, but with the gospel message. The traditionalists won't listen to us, says Reba Rambo, who, with her husband partner, Donnie McGuire, I thought she married, a second husband? Who was that first one she married? Gardner, right. With her husband partner, Donnie McGuire is a leader in the field of contemporary gospel music. Thank you, brother. We're too modern for them. Too new. We don't only sing about blood and the cross. We don't only sing about blood and the cross like the traditional gospel singers do. In fact, sometimes it is hard to pin a gospel label on a song that is contemporary gospel because it often seems to be just another love song. Traditionalists claim that is deliberate deception, and thus contemporary gospel isn't gospel at all. Excuse me. Here's a picture of Reba Rambo. Reba Rambo is one of the new contemporary gospel singers whose love songs often don't sound like gospel at all. The traditionalists won't listen to us, she says. We're too modern for them, too new. We don't only sing about blood and the cross like the traditional gospel singers do. Songs like Andrew Crouch's Here Comes the Sun, which could just as easily be S-U-N as S-O-N, and Reba and Donnie's I Won't Last a Day Without Your Love, are technically gospel, yet appeal to a wide audience who doesn't even recognize its religious message. Reba and Donnie say they feel gospel should be interpreted from its dictionary definition, glad tidings. And Reba says, therefore, any song that is positive and upbeat can be considered to be gospel music. Whatever the distinction, the field is booming. The only variety show on TV today, Barbara Mandrell's on NBC, has a gospel segment every week. When Reba and Donnie appeared in person recently at Knott's Berry Farm near Los Angeles, they drew a crowd estimated at better than 18,000 people. And many of the old-time recording stars are turning to gospel. Bob Dylan has a gospel album. B.J. Thomas is totally gospel today, even going so far as to stop his in-person performances in the middle to give his own Christian testimony. Dylan, of Dylan and the Belmonts, is a recent born-again convert to the music, as are Maria Muldaur and Don Peck of the rock group America. More and more radio stations, says Resnick, are now exclusively gospel. Record sales of gospel are growing, although they are still behind pop artists. In gospel, a quarter of a million album sales is big, whereas Kenny Rogers will sell 2 million. Resnick says the gospel message is moving into other areas of entertainment besides music. He says that Christian comics are becoming important, and he singles out one, Mike Warnke, as an up-and-coming talent. I've heard Mike Warnke on a tape. Have you? Any of you? Reba Rambo and Donnie McGuire both come from gospel backgrounds. The Rambos, Reba's parents, are big in gospel music, and she began singing in their act when she was 18 months old. She went on her own 4 years ago. Donnie is from an Oklahoma singing family, and early on he wanted to play football. An accident, however, when he was 9 years old, cost him one of his legs. He turned to music when, he says, his mother told him a one-legged man had a choice, digging ditches or music. Reba and Donnie live in Southern California now because they are both ambitious to broaden their careers. They want to cross over into secular music in addition to gospel, and eventually they would like to move into television and or movies. But they would never abandon gospel totally. Not now, when it is moving into the fast lane on the entertainment highway. Excuse me, I didn't plan this. Somebody just handed me this before the service. But look what's in our text today, Deuteronomy chapter 29. When I read that article, I can't help but shiver and shake, thinking about what God is saying about things like that. Obviously, many people think it's okay. Excuse me. Obviously, many people think that it's okay to mix the world and the Word, mix Hollywood and the Holy Word. Obviously, and even from that article, you can see that people think it's all right to sing worldly music and gospel music. Let's see what God says. Deuteronomy chapter 29, these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. That's the scripture we used last week. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came unto this place, Sihon the king of Heshbon and Og the king of Bashan came out against us unto battle, and we smote them. And we took their land, and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh. Keep therefore the words of this covenant, and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God and into his oath which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which you passed by, and ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord your God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood, and it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart. You read that? Here it is. Don't worry about us. Everything's okay. Everything's not okay in my mind. Something's going wrong. Money has become the God, not Jesus. And it come to pass, verse 19, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart. To add drunkenness to thirst. Let's just go from one wickedness to another. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven, and the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. So that's the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboam, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath, even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the world, out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, because sentence against an evil work is not, or judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, it's in the hearts of men just to keep on doing what they're doing. Isn't it amazing? When you do something wrong, God doesn't cut you down on the spot. He is very patient, long-suffering, and merciful, and things can go on and on and on sometimes. But it sure sounds here like the Lord's going to have his say in all of this. Praise the Lord. We have been in the Rambles home. We have sat in their house. They took us out to supper. My daughter has gone shopping with Rebo Ramble, and I remember how they picked the guitar off the wall, sat in the middle of the floor, and started singing. That's when they had not yet recorded the song, The Holy Hills. We were one of the first to hear it from their room. Fine people, fine people. But something's happening, and I'm afraid. And I wonder if before we start the lesson today, we couldn't stand and pray for them. You know, the message of the gospel is at stake so many times in our lives, and we forget that, and we look out for ourselves only. And I pray that this situation will be rectified. I really do. Praise the Lord. Jesus, we come to you this morning because you are our God. We love you, Lord, and you have welcomed us into your throne room. Lord, as we stand in your presence here this morning, we would ask, oh God, that you would bless Buck and Dodd Ramble, Lord, and that you would bless Rebo Ramble. God, we are not looking in God's feed and things that are not proper and right in your eyes, Lord. We would not become judges of men or other people's activities. But, oh, God, we know that at one time some people were sold out to you, Lord. They had a humility and a special drive, Lord Jesus, for you and for your work. And I pray, oh, God, that this world would be let go of by them and by all Christians everywhere, Lord. We would have eyes and our minds on you and on you alone, Lord Jesus. We would not sell out, Lord God, to the enemy. Lord, we would not sell out to the almighty dollar as they call it in the world. Lord, you have said the love of money is the root of all evil. Lord Jesus, have mercy, on the Lord and on the whole family. Oh God, call them closer to you, Lord. Call them closer to you, I pray, Lord Jesus, touch them, oh God. Speak to them, Lord Jesus. Speak to their hearts. Oh, Lord, you are so good, so patient, so long-suffering, so merciful in the mercy of the Lord. And do it forever. We read in the Scripture, in the King James Version, at least 42 times, with other references, many other references, talking of your mercy and long-suffering and goodness for the children of men. Oh, Lord Jesus, my prayer today is that you would draw us all closer. Closer still to you, Lord, that you would lift our eyes above the thee, O unto this world, Lord, it is. Fix our eyes on the goal, Lord Jesus. We would be telling them about you and your love and mercy. Oh, praise God, bless you, Savior, we pray, Lord. And bless everyone in this class today, oh God. Let our hearts be melted and tender before you, Lord. Amen. Let our ears be open, eyes open, Lord. Let us see, let us hear spiritual things, Lord, that we would understand, that we would grow in you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Help us today, Lord Jesus. We look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. We cry unto the Lord our God. Help us, have mercy on us, Lord. Now, Lord, touch everyone, I pray, as we study your word again together this morning, Lord, that we might be drawn closer, closer, closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Verse 18 says, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 8 through 19, now that's a good reference for you to write down and read sometime concerning this, and I hesitate to read it all because of time. Especially verse 12, though, says, take ye, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, those are some words to be spoken to a Christian community, aren't they? Take ye, brethren. You can't miss it. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the Hebrews, Christians. Take ye, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. Oh, no, that couldn't happen to me. It sounds here like God says it could happen to anybody in this building today. Take ye, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Excuse me. And then we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now back to the text, Deuteronomy 29:18 again, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Hebrews 12, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Gall. Definition, the bitter, greenish fluid secreted by the liver and stored in the gallbladder. Wormwood, a strong-smelling plant that yields a bitter-tasting, dark green oil. I believe that sin is the root which beareth gall and wormwood. Sin is the root which beareth gall and wormwood. The word bitterness, taken from Hebrews 12:15, or used in Hebrews 12:15, means, from the Greek, sharp, bitter, stinging, especially poison. So the warning, lest any root of bitterness, poison, sharp, bitter, stinging, poison, springing up, troubled, and thereby many be defiled. I read this story to you before. A man planted acres and acres of orange trees. He was so anxious for those orange trees to grow and produce fruit. Finally, one day, after waiting the 2 or 3 years for them to produce, he went out into the orchard and pulled an orange from off one of the trees, peeled open a place, and took a bite. He spit and spit. It was bitter. He said to the keeper, I put the best trees in here, fertilized the soil, and gave this the very best care. What's wrong here? Oh, said the keeper, it's probably just that one orange. So the owner went from one tree to another, and every piece of fruit he picked was bitter as gall. They couldn't understand it. Finally, after they had called in many experts, an old doctor from the university came and, with his hands behind his back, walked the perimeter of the orange grove. Way down in the corner, on the other side of the fence, was an old blackjack tree. A blackjack tree is unusual in its nature because it does not only take in from the soil, but it gives off bitterness. And the roots of that tree had grown under the fence of the orchard and wrapped themselves around the roots of the first orange tree. And that orange tree wrapped its roots around the roots of the next tree, and that one wrapped its roots around the roots of the next tree, and so forth. And one blackjack tree had destroyed the entire orchard. No wonder the Bible says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Sober, serious, firm warning. Take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In the day and age that we live in, it seems much easier not to believe than to believe. Right? I know you think, oh, God is so big and it's so obvious that he has created everything and so on. It could be easy to believe. But with man's intellect running rampant today, with man's ego about as high as it can get, and man's self-conceit being what it is, it seems like unbelief comes very easily. With newspapers, magazines, television, movies, and all that the world offers us as pleasure and excitement, it seems a whole lot easier just to abandon God and don't believe. Oh, it sure does. It sure does. Otherwise, there'd be more believers than non-believers. We have statistical proof right there. Amen. But I'm a believer today. And Bruce Dunn said this morning on the radio, I hear him in and out, the radio sits there, and I go through the room and in the shower and out of the shower maybe, or prayer or study or whatever. And today I did hear him say for a moment that I think when he was in seminary, did anybody else hear that? Oh, okay. He said Wilbur Smith was 52 years old at that time, and he was a young lad in seminary, and he said to Wilbur Smith to him and said, look, the world is telling you to have an open mind. He said, let me tell you something. I'm 52 years old, and there are some things you've got to settle in your mind. I like that. There are some things you have to draw a conclusion to. Praise the Lord. And I tell you, when I heard that, my heart just leaped. And I thought, that's right. And I remember many, many years ago, several decades ago, when I settled something in my mind. And it was a simple thing. And listen, I had already been baptized and saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, he's talking here to Christians when he says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The devil wants to destroy anyone or every one of us here today. He'd like to send you into hell in unbelief. You see, all unbelievers are going to hell, the Bible says. All liars are going to hell. Besides drunkards and cohabitators, they're all going to hell, the Bible says. Every last one of them. Not one will be in heaven. There'll be no sin there. Isn't that something? We're going to a place where we're not going to be environed with all these things. Praise the Lord. But anyway, there's some things that we settle in our minds. And would you believe it? After I was saved, the devil tempted me to disbelieve in the existence of God. And I began reading other materials and scientists and philosophies and so on. And I'll never forget it. I had to sit outside and settle that thing in my heart as a Christian. And let me tell you something. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there were several people here this morning. I don't have anybody in my mind. But in a congregation this size, I wouldn't be surprised if there were several people here that have, and they're saved, that have not yet settled in their mind the absolute existence of God Almighty. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Because the devil would just love to have you disbelieve. He would just love to fill you with unbelief. And let me tell you what will fill you with unbelief. Sitting before a television for 6-12 hours a day and reading your Bible once a week, that'll fill you with unbelief. It's the Word of God that gives you faith, and it's the world that takes away your faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What stands between you and victory? The world. What's the victory? Faith. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you do not saturate yourself with the word of God, it will be easy for you to believe the world, believe the philosophies of men, become an atheist or an evolutionist or something else. And it's subtle. It's subtle. You've got to read the word of God and fill yourself with the word of God. Then these things come and they hit you just like my fist bounces off of this wall. And this wall is pretty thick. And that's the way I want my faith to be. You know, when the devil shoots his darts, they'll just bounce off. Praise the Lord. That's the way you want your faith to be. I want to go on this morning and get into the secret things. Verse 29. Belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. God has placed impenetrable boundaries on the intellect of man. God has placed impenetrable boundaries on the intellect of man. There are some things that God has reserved to himself, and no matter how high and lofty intellectually any man or group of men or university or school of learning become, there are some things that we'll never know because God has chosen to hide them or conceal them from man. God has placed impenetrable boundaries on the intellect of man. Men become atheists, agnostics, skeptics, infidels when they become too proud to humbly bow before God. That's my opinion. And I like that opinion. Praise the Lord. Our minds are too small to grasp the mind and thought of the infinite one. Paul writes a warning to the Colossians, chapter 2, verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Some things God has revealed and some things God has concealed. I personally am inquisitive concerning spiritual things. As far as studying the atom anymore, might have been interested once, I'm not that interested anymore. But I am inquisitive in spiritual things. I have been for a long time. And I thank the Lord for that in that inquisitiveness, and yet it can be a dangerous thing. Let me explain. Hebrews 5, 10, and 11. The Bible says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, speaking of Jesus, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. In other words, Paul is saying, I wanted to tell you more, and I would have written more, but you are dull of hearing. Now that bothers me, because if they wouldn't have been dull of hearing, it would have been written, and I would have had some of my inquisitiveness satisfied right there. I could have read what would have been written. See what I mean? Okay, I always wondered what the writer didn't write. Amen. Secret things. Listen to some of the secret things of the Lord. Mark 13, 32. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven. There are some things God has chosen to conceal. He didn't even tell the angels when he's coming again. Yes. No, not the angels which are in heaven. And then he looked at himself and said, neither the Son, but the Father, only the Father. Some things are concealed. Now, if that bothers you on the subject of the Godhead, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I've answered that question many times. If that's not the subject today, we're going to run out of time if I got into it. Because that's one of my favorite subjects. But listen to that. Some things God conceals. Some things are secret. Of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, capital S-O-N, but the Father. Listen to John 21, 22. Jesus saith unto him, unto Peter, if I will that he, that's John, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Isn't that something? The Lord just doesn't tell us everything we want to know. Peter requested of the Lord, what will happen to him? And the Lord said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Praise the Lord. Acts 1:6-7. Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know. And you know, that's why a lot of people aren't Christians today. Because they look into things, and God says no, and they say, well, I'll become God then. And they continue to search. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Isn't that amazing? And how many times do people spend most of their lifetime praying for an answer that they're never going to get? We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit makes an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Praise the Lord. Okay, listen to 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know. We can describe our future glorified bodies and the terrible injustice to the description and never come to the answer until it actually happens. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. Why should I write a book entitled Our Future Glorified Bodies and make a lot of money on it, when the Bible says, we don't know. We don't know, and we're not going to know until we get it. Praise the Lord. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. You gotta write a book on that, fine. For we shall see him as he is. When I read that verse last night, I thought, beloved, now are we the sons of God. God has not concealed that from us. He has revealed that to us. We have the witness of the Spirit that we are now sons of God. But he has concealed a future glorified state from us. It does not yet appear what we shall be. Write all the books you want. Read all the books you want. I've got it in a word here. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know this. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I said to myself, we know enough. 3 words. And I almost leaped out of it. In fact, I fell on the floor. We know enough. We know that we are the sons of God. We know that he shall appear. We know that we shall be like him. We know that we shall see him as he is. I know enough. I know enough to keep me plodding on toward the prize. Prize. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Isn't God wise? He keeps back nothing that is profitable for us, only that which it is good for us to be ignorant of. There are some things that it is good for us to be ignorant of. I got to hear it. Romans 11:33, 34, 35, and 36, but I'll just read our next verse. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Praise the Lord. Some things that are difficult. Let me name some things that are difficult for the human intellect to comprehend. God himself. That's pretty difficult for the human intellect to comprehend. Just take a look at God himself and all at once you're lost. Amen. Think about his eternalness. He always was, and that staggers a lot of people's minds. He always was. Now, if you have trouble believing that God always was, ask yourself this question. Do I have trouble believing that he always will be? If you don't have any trouble believing that he always will be, why then should you have any trouble believing that he always was? One should be no more difficult than the other. I settled that thing under the stars one night when I just looked off in one direction, and I've said this before. I think that I am satisfied describing the eternalness of God by space. How far is it in that direction? Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about that this morning.
But go as far as you can in that direction. And you'll always be going. If there's a wall at the end, how thick is the wall, and what's on the other side of the wall, and how far is it to the next wall, and how thick, and so on. Common sense tells you it goes on and on forever and ever. Common sense tells you that. God always was and always will be. That's God. And that's where we humans have trouble, because God has put impenetrable boundaries on the human intellect of men. Praise the Lord. Okay, we think of his eternalness and we're staggered. We think of his, now, the world can't think this way, but we as Christians can think of his love, and that staggers our imagination. We think of the love of God. Could we with ink the oceans fill? Were the skies a parchment made? Were every stalk, every blade of grass on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Tremendous. And yet, it's an understatement. When you talk about the love of God, how he could reach down in the muck and the mire and pick you and I out of there, you and me out of there, and save us. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, some things that are difficult for the human intellect to comprehend. We could talk about hell. We'll skip that one today. We could talk about angels. We'll skip that one today. I want to hurry. But we could talk about his dwelling place, heaven. I want to dwell on that for a minute. That's his dwelling place. That's where he's taking us. Think about heaven. When God tries to make known to us the mysteries of heaven, he has to resort to words that are familiar to us because of its splendor and glory and beauty. Now, words represent things, right? If we do not understand a word, we can have no conception of the thing that it represents. Example, if I ask you to please bring me 100 caryopses, would you know what to bring me? Is anybody here that would know what to bring me? Somebody bring me 100 caryopses. Well, that's a word. Nobody here knows the meaning of that word. Honest? I mean, be fair with me. Would somebody bring me 100 caryopses? What are you thinking of? Some of you might be thinking in terms of flowers. Some of you might be thinking in terms of automobiles or something else. If you don't know what the word means, you have no concept of what the person is talking about, right? Right. Okay, a caryopsy is a small, dry, one-seeded fruit in which the ovary wall remains joined with a seed in a single grain, as in barley, wheat, etc. Example number two, if I said, let us all genuflect. Everybody genuflect right now. Does anybody know what I mean? Huh? Is that a Catholic word, really? Boy, I picked a good one, didn't I? Praise the Lord. Okay, well, I'll just use it anyway. Some of you didn't know what it meant, but some of you did. Genuflect. It means to bend the knee in reverence or in worship. Okay, so one word you knew, the other you didn't. One thing you couldn't do, the other you could. Now, when the Lord talks to us, he has to talk to us in language that we can relate to, right? He has to talk to us in language we can relate to. Now, God has a reward waiting for those that love him that is humanly indescribable. So he uses words that we can relate to. Yet they are words that do not touch the reality. So when he describes heaven, he talks about gates of pearl, streets of gold, walls of jasper. And he says, I can't even touch the reality. It's far beyond all of that. But this is the best I can do that you can relate to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No thoughts of man could possibly reach to the reality. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard. It hasn't into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by the Holy Ghost. Do you know how important it is for us to get to this altar and talk in tongues and shake and tremble and fall out under the power of God? Get lost in the Holy Ghost. You know how important it is? People don't walk around in the flesh getting visions of heaven and of the Lord and of angels and revelations from God. No, you get those things in the Spirit. God reveals those things in the Spirit. It's far beyond the scope of human intellect. Praise the Lord. No wonder John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me as of a great trumpet, and on and on. No wonder the Apostle Paul told how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful, which means permitted, which it is not permitted for a man to utter. Natural men wouldn't understand him anyway. He couldn't utter it. It wasn't permitted for him to utter it. It wasn't in his vocabulary. Praise the Lord. You just have to be there to experience it. Have you ever tried to tell anybody what it's like to receive the Holy Ghost? That's a spiritual experience, and you have been unsuccessful to date. Because when the person received it, he'd look back at you, and he wouldn't say it's exactly, in every detail, as you explained it to me. You'd say, wow. He might say, you said when you got the Holy Ghost, you were kneeling at the altar, you raised your hands and began to speak with other tongues. And you spoke in tongues for 2-3 minutes and got up and visited with the people a little and went home. But when I got the Holy Ghost, I couldn't talk English for a week. You know? And the one that got it for a week might explain it to somebody else, and he says something else. I prophesied over and over. I couldn't stop. You know, everybody's experience is personal. Praise the Lord. And it's pretty hard to explain a spiritual thing in natural terms like that. Now, let's go on in that verse 29:29, Deuteronomy. Because some things are concealed does not mean that we should not study. Here's where some people go wrong. Well, God has chosen not to reveal some things, so here he knows my address. If he wants me to know, he'll tell me. Until then, I'll just consider it concealed from me by God. No, that's not true. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen to Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. This one we have to take the time to read. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 6. I think this is really good. Excellent. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 6. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Can you picture a man hunting silver and hunting hid treasures? Can you see him sweating as he picks with the axe and shovels with the shovel? Then, when you go after knowledge and wisdom and understanding that way, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and then shalt thou find the knowledge of God. For the Lord, or it is the Lord that giveth wisdom, and wisdom only comes from the Lord. You don't just get it on your own. You just don't go to some school of learning and get wisdom. Oh, no. The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Praise the Lord. So, if you want to be wise, if you want knowledge, if you want understanding, then you have to study to show yourself approved.
Then you have to get out the pickaxe and the shovel and go to work and dig hard. And then you have to get on your...
We are slow. We are dull of hearing. We are slothful and lazy and sluggardly sometimes. And so the Lord withholds until we get ready. And what we didn't get because we weren't ready is a loss, an eternal loss. And that scares me. That scares me. But several times Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear, in the Gospels. And then in the book of Revelation, over and over, he said the same thing. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Listen to Hebrews 5:11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Too many other things you'd rather listen to than the voice of the Good Shepherd. Too many other things you'd rather do than get busy in the Word of God. How much time do you spend in the Word compared to the time that you spend in the world? Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. By the time that you ought to be eating strong meat, the writer of Hebrews says, you're still sucking the bottle. He said, this is a shame. John 16:12, Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Well, when we read something like that, then our eyes ought to be open wider, and our ears ought to be totally unstopped, and we ought to be listening for every word that Jesus has to say. Because he said, I have a lot of things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them yet. In other words, he's going to talk again. Let's have our ears perked up. Let's be ready. Let's be waiting. Let's be listening. Let's be tuned in. Let's be turned to his frequency. Amen. I have yet many things to say unto you. I don't want to miss it. If God's going to speak again, I want to hear it. If the Lord Jesus is going to say something else to me, I want to be in tune. How about you? Amen. He has more to say. Let's keep our ears open. Listen to Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I'll answer that for you. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Listen, some of us got saved at younger ages, some of us at middle age, some are getting saved at an older age. When you get saved at an older age, your life up to that time was mostly a waste. Really, as far as eternity goes. So that's why the Lord says train up a child in the way he should go. That's why the Lord wants you to learn the scriptures from a child that are able to make you wise unto salvation so you don't waste your life. Okay? Oh, my. Somebody made a statement. I can't think of it. I need to say that. Oh, was it Dwight L. Moody? Had a revival. So many souls got saved, and it came out to a half. I don't know. 150 and a half people. And somebody asked him, what do you mean a half a person got saved? He said, this man was 50 years old when he got saved, or 35 years old. There's only a half left. That's what he said, something like that. I did a poor job explaining it. But who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To those that believe on his name. And so salvation is withheld until the recipient is ready. These are sober things. But some things, praise the Lord, have been revealed. The text says, those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Let's talk about some of the things that have been revealed. Quickly, his law has been revealed. The law of God, the Old Testament, has been revealed. The Ten Commandments have been revealed, plus all the other laws he gave. Is that important? I believe it's very important. Listen, what is the law? Put it in a nutshell. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said in Matthew 22:40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. His law has been revealed, praise the Lord. Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Praise the Lord. What else has been revealed? His salvation. Isaiah 35:8 says, and an highway shall be there, and the way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. The way of salvation made plain. Praise the Lord. Listen to the text again. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us. The secret things belong to Him. The things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. Why? Read the last phrase. They're revealed to us that we may do all the words of this law. When God reveals something to us, He meant for us to take action on it. All knowledge, all understanding, all revelation will be vain and insignificant unless it has an influence on our lives. If it doesn't change us, it isn't worth having. I've said that about revelation. Somebody come to me, oh, I got a tremendous revelation. Okay, if it makes you, if you apply it to your life, it makes you a better Christian, it makes you a more joyful Christian, it makes you a better soul winner. It's got to have some positive influence on your life to be worth anything. But we got a lot of people going around with revelations today that Jesus is Mark Michael, the archangel. What does that do for you? That doesn't make me feel like running the aisle. That doesn't make me a better soul winner. It doesn't do a thing for me. Now you can take that revelation and toss it. Oh, people come up with all kinds of other revelations about the future sometimes. Listen, if it does not have a good effect, if it does not have influence on your life as a Christian, if it doesn't make you a better Christian, don't go around with a big fat head saying, I know so much. And your little heart just isn't hardly beating for God. Think about it. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. When a man becomes a hearer of the word, he learns and he learns and he learns and he never does anything. He never puts what he learns into action. He never becomes a better Christian, a better soul winner, and so on. He is deceiving himself. It's in your Bible too. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Listen to 2 Peter 3:11. This one has always touched me. Peter's talking about the second coming of Jesus. And we could write all kinds of books about the second coming of Jesus from that chapter, 2 Peter 3, verse 11. And then he sums it all up and he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, let's write a book. No? Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, let's be better Christians than we ever were before. That's what he says. Listen to it, word for word. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, the world, the earth, your house, your car, your bank account, your stock, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Think of it. You see what I'm saying? The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You know, it's possible to deceive yourself. It's possible to deceive yourself and believe that everything's all right, like we read in Deuteronomy 29, fold your arms and say, I'm really being blessed of God, and you're on your way to hell. That's what the Bible teaches. As I studied this very lesson last night, I fell on my face before God, and I prayed, Oh God, there is so much to learn. Help me. Help me. There's so much to learn. And then I prayed again, oh God, and by that time I was weeping profusely. Oh God, the time is so short. Please God, show me how to learn faster. And listen, while I was praying, the Lord answered me, just as clear as you ring a church bell. He said, I will give you truth just as fast as you can apply it.
Let's stand. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. I want to tell you something. Your neighbor may be more intellectual than you. He may be brighter than you, more brilliant than you. But listen, you can be miles ahead of him spiritually. You can be miles and miles ahead when it comes to the things of God, because the Lord is going to give more to the one that applies it. And I like the Lord's answer to me. It really stopped me. Stopped me right there on my knees. I just stopped and wept before the Lord. Lord, help me to learn faster. Show me how to learn faster. And he showed me. He says, I will add truth as fast as you can apply it. Lord Jesus, we all need to learn. We need to learn of you. You said, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Lord, you would have us learn of you. You would have us interested in you and knowing more about you, Lord. But, oh God, you also want us to take what you have given us, Lord, and exercise it that we might grow and be strong. Jesus, Jesus, teach us, Lord, teach us. Teach us your word, Lord Jesus, and then teach us, Lord, how to apply that word. Yes, even doctrine. Oh, God, it should make us so that we are full of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love, mercy, patience, long-suffering with each of us. But, oh, God, help us, Lord, to as it were, roll up our sleeves, Lord, and begin to press in harder than we ever have before, Lord. Help us, oh God, to realize that you are no respecter of persons, and that the Bible is an open book for those who will open their eyes or have their eyes opened and read that book and learn of you. Help us, everyone, Lord, not to deceive ourselves by being hearers of the word only and not doers of the word. But, oh, God, when you said, be holy, even as I am holy, Lord, let us keep one of us sanctify our vessels, even unto holiness, Lord Jesus. For our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Let them be sanctified unto you, set apart as holy, Lord. We are your private possession. We are your personal property. Cleanse us, Lord. Wash us, Lord. May we be truly sanctified, set apart as vessels of honor in the Master's house, for the Master's use, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I pray, Lord, that you take the truth of this message and burn it into the hearts of every child of God in this classroom today, Lord, that we may become real doers of the word and not hearers only. And leave those things which you have concealed for yourself, O God, to you, Lord, and take those things that you have revealed and use them. Praise the Lord, to the praise and the honor and the glory of our great God and King, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Ushers.